Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Phil.
And this is The Underground, the podcast for garden sector professionals and the official podcast partner of Glee 2024.
In this special collection of episodes, we'll be sharing over 20 interviews that we recorded live from our podcast booth at Glee this year, offering fresh insights from the innovators and trailblazers that keep the garden sector growing.
So, without further ado, let's get down and dirty.
In today's episode, we wanted to highlight the incredible work of the Young People's Horticultural Association, the YPHA, and share the insights from some of the industry's rising stars. Later, we'll be talking with Jester Bell from Meadowview Stone. But first, we hope you enjoy our conversation with Nat Boynton. As well as being sales director at Happy Plants, Nat is the founder and co-president of the YPHA.
Welcome, Nat.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. So before we get on to the YPHA, can you tell us a bit about your role within Happy Plants?
Of course. Happy Plants is my family business, and some people out there might remember it as Porter's Fuchsias. Porter's Fuchsias has been operating since 1985, supplying originally fuchsias, and then since then a more diverse range of annual plants to garden centres and to supermarkets. I joined the business 10 years ago. In 2014, almost exactly 10 years ago, and was trying to generate some business with garden centres, and wasn't getting very far because people kept saying they didn't need fuchsias. But my dad in particular was quite protective of the brand, of the heritage. So I waited for him to go on holiday and and suggested, or when he came back, he was served a cup of tea in a mug that said Happy Plants, and I had a t-shirt that said Happy Plants, and he said, what's this? And sort of slid under the
That's
door.
That's very clever.
So more recently we've been Happy Plants and gone, thankfully, from strength to strength with that identity. We're all about trying to, exactly what it says on the tin, provide plants that keep people happy. Little pick-me-ups, I always say that we're the colouring in department of Plantaria. We do a lot of planted containers, baskets, products for younger people in particular.
Right. Fantastic. So you talked about fuchsias. What are your kind of your key sellers, would you say?
So yeah, it was originally fuchsias, and my granddad certainly was a key character at a lot of flower shows and whatnot back in the day. Some of his fuchsias were 7 foot wingspan.
Oh my goodness.
So they were wow. Three people to move them.
Lord.
Yeah. But more recently, I like to think that we do two sets of products. One for the green fingered traditional gardener, which is probably your packed bedding seed raised.
Right.
But the more modern part, and the part that sort of gets my heart, is I would say there's a clean fingered gardener or a garden decorator, as Jane Lawler likes to call them.
Yes. So
it's more of something that's ready made that they can put on the patio. So that starts with mixed planters and hanging baskets that are already in colour themes, packs to replant the colour theme on the hardware you've already bought. And then more recently, we have a product called Refillable, where you can just tip the bowl out into fresh compost and any urn, any old hanging basket. If you've spent money on a fancy wood lodge planter or whatever, you can replant it without getting your hands dirty.
Oh, right.
So green fingered products and clean fingered products.
I love that. That's great. Yeah, there are a lot of clean fingered people around, a lot more than you'd think.
Yeah. Including me.
Oh, really? Don't look at my nails.
I'm the black sheep of the family with my hort skills.
So it's a family business.
For sure.
Yeah. When did you join? Were you straight out of college, or did you go off and do something else?
I was booked to go back to university, but I was quite poorly at the end of university, so I took a gap year. And in that gap year, I broke my arm really badly. They called it a humerus fracture. I didn't think it was very humorous, but it was displaced, and I had to have a traction brace on. And I was on tramadol. Got offered £12 for it in the pub. Whilst on tramadol, I had to be supervised, and basically spent my time sitting in the corner of my dad's office suggesting that he could be doing things differently.
I bet he loved that.
Yeah. And it was a sort of, why don't you do it then? Process, really. And I don't know if I intended to stay. And I don't think I expected, the business has seen sort of 600% growth since that point. And we've invested significantly in new infrastructure. We've built new glass, and really got a couple of really impressive sites and a really, really good customer portfolio now. The business as it is now is such a different set up to what I signed up for, and then I'm not really ever sure I signed up for it in the first place, but we are but I'm it's
very
got
proud.
You.
Yeah,
it's
and I'm very, very, very proud of what we've achieved with that business, and to be able to work with my family has its moments, but most of the times, fantastic. Quite, quite
so
a nice
you
place.
Said it's a family business. How many of you family?
So my dad, my brother, and my mum are right. my fellow directors. And my brother's wife is also part of the business. Okay. My husband will occasionally contribute to a spreadsheet, but there's normally a price of contribution, and that price is normally me and him bickering and him ending up being right.
Of course.
So yeah. So there's occasional outside contributions from the spouses, and certainly my brother's wife is a big part of our team.
Oh, wonderful.
Brilliant. So I'm hoping by now that our audience know all about the YPHA, but if not, perhaps you could just give us a little bit of an explanation about who they are and how it came about.
Yeah, of course. The YPHA is the Young People in Horticulture Association. And we've actually, and I don't think anyone's known this, but we've just tipped over 1,000 members. in the past,
heard it here first.
Yeah, in the past few days, the membership, and that's 1,000 current members.
Brilliant.
So that doesn't include those who've left the industry or who've aged out as well.
Yeah.
Because we do kick people out when they get past the threshold. But so originally, we always said it brought together the scatterings of younger people, but with membership like 1,000, I don't think we can call it scatterings exactly.
No.
So anybody under any part of the banner of horticulture, we have people who print labels, we have people who build packaging to post plants out, we have botanists, we have a lot of people who work in soil sciences, anything that becomes part of horticulture. Anyone who is 35 or under can join, and they stay till the end of their 36th year. So 1988, your days are numbered.
Right.
But we have.
That's sad.
I know. We have online learning seminars. We have face to face events a couple times a year. Mm-hmm. Any time like this, where we're already at an event with our day jobs, there's a lot of opportunities to meet up. There's normally crazy golf involved when it's we've had people at a Garden Press event this year. A new employee who just joined the business she was in came up to us and said, thanks so much for I already knew who I was going to have my lunch with before it set off today.
That's
So it's very much bringing together younger people, uniting their voices, providing opportunities, networking, and a lot of that happens in this sort of hive mind. It used to be WhatsApp, has now moved across to Discord so that we could segregate conversation, because 1,000 people trying to talk at the same time.
It was
not
much,
but a lot of people, and particularly Ruth Goody from Kiln Farm, once said to me, if I have a question about horticulture now, I don't Google it.
Yeah.
I ask YPHA, because their answers are almost as quick and more up to date. Because in our membership, no matter how niche the topic that you're covering, we have a girl who calculates how much dye you put in a golf course pond to turn the water blue, but not the swans. So the knowledge set
real
is
niche knowledge.
Yeah, for sure. So pretty much any question you can come up with, someone in that membership, that's there.
And it's going to be up to date. It's going to be relevant.
For sure.
And they're going to know, rather than kind of asking on Facebook or something, you get 100 different answers.
Exactly. And it's so empowering for young people
that's
to be
great.
Able to find an answer without having to turn to a superior or a senior.
Yeah. And then know that maybe going to be your turn next to answer that question.
Yeah, for sure.
Question.
The person who answers the question gets the pride of having known the answer. Everybody who's reading the conversation learns the same.
Yeah.
The same thing. And that person gets an answer without having had to sort of report to.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And you all have your niche.
Yeah. And everyone's niche is just as valuable as everyone else's.
Yeah, just different.
I think there's been so much in horticulture that's been like, we've got a problem, but let's learn more about plants. And there's so many problems, especially when we look at our customer now versus our customer 30 years ago. So much of what we need to do now is not about learning more about plants. So I think that's a big part of it, is it's not just the hort science skills, it's the lateral skills is what I always say.
Interesting. So moving on, an exciting initiative has been the Launch Success Program, and we had Boyd Douglas Davis on the show talking all about it. Can you tell us how it all came about and what it involves?
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly what I just said in the previous answer.
Right, okay.
Launch Success Challenge, LSC, was originally Lateral Skills Challenge. So we knew it was something we wanted to do to promote those lateral skills.
So can I just stop you? When you say lateral skills, what are we talking about?
So anything that isn't directly related to the quality of the plant being produced.
So we're talking computer...
IT, yeah.
Writing
packaging,
press release,
marketing.
Yeah, right. Everything that we're expected to do in the remit of our day jobs,
right.
And actually defines how successful we are at some of the things we do. Every sales rep has to take photos and send them to customers. No one ever teaches them how to take a photo.
No, that's very true.
Every new product development process involves press releases that nobody's ever learned. Nobody's ever taught anybody.
No.
I was quite a part of the process in lockdown of having garden centres reclassified as essential businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of press work at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I'd done all the press work, the HCA paid for me to have media training. And I realised how vulnerable I had been when I was out there talking to all these, you know, in the Times, the Telegraph, the big name.
Yeah, the biggies.
Yeah. The scope in what they'd asked me to do versus how much training I'd had for that was terrifying, really, but only retrospectively was it terrifying. And there's so much of what I've had to do in my career that I've just made up as I've gone along.
Right.
And sometimes that's been a huge advantage for me to not know how horticulture already expected something to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So the LSE, the Launch Success Challenge, was exactly that, really. I spend a lot of time in the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, their plant marketing is very descriptive.
Yes.
You'll get things called purple with white edge. And then I'm asked to promote this product. Why is this product not landing well with a younger customer? Well, it's called White Improved. Yeah, and I understand the need for that sort of separation. But if we're going to appeal to a younger person, we need to be more dynamic. We need to be more communicable to anyone, really. Names need to be memorable, inspiring, exciting. And it's not just names, it's the whole process. So how could we show what happens if you liberate people a little bit of the expectations of how horticulture would normally do something and equip them with some of the skills that I wish I'd been taught.
Right.
So they've had touch points throughout with some of my very favourite mentors, but people who are very open-minded. They've been told the practicalities where they've needed to know them, but for the most part it's been, this is how I've faced a similar challenge, but you have free rein to do it however you like. And and I can't tell you too much about any of the output, but some of the things that they've done, I think, wow, why have we never thought of that?
Right.
And 10 years in, I'm already a little bit restricted in my thinking because I think, well, that's not how horticulture does it. That's not how horticulture works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even to the point of, I get so sick of people saying it, but we tried that once, it didn't work.
Before.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very different world out there now and a very different customer out there now. So
very much so.
I think I answered the question somewhere in there.
No,
so how many people are involved in the Launch Success Challenge?
So we've got 10 delegates, and we took them to the Netherlands as a team of 10.
So all the pictures.
Yeah, and then came back and we ran personality profiling with more people. Boyd and I and Andy Abbey from Bacon Camp had spent the time on the trip with those 10, and we sort of sat and divided them out into two teams, and we've got quite a passionate, more headstrong team. Mm-hmm. And we've got a more sort of, I don't know how to describe them. They're just so positive, and they're quite different dynamics in the two teams.
Yeah.
And I'm really
and
excited.
You did that on purpose.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting. I've never heard of that.
And
people doing that before.
No, it was because the whole thing with this process is I want to create progress for those 10 people, but I also want the industry to see what happens when you take off the blinkers of how something should be done.
Right.
Intentionally, one team's a little bit more feisty and headstrong. Strong and has to learn really to make room for other voices, and the other team has to learn not to always agree with everyone else's. They're always like, yeah, that's a great idea to everything anyone says.
Yes, very optimistic.
Yeah, exactly.
But very agreeable too.
For sure.
Yeah.
So one group of people that have had to learn to stand up for themselves a bit more, and one that have had to make room a little bit more for other ideas. So I think they would know which one I'm talking about in each instance. So I think they would know, I'm that team or the other team. But yeah, group of 10. And then they've had, a trip to the Netherlands with Boyd and Andy and Nick Mathias from Flora Media. They had a label factory tour over there, and then they had a behind the scenes tour at the breeding facility at Bacon Camp and met the plant breeder.
Amazing.
2 days prior, we'd had an email saying that Bacon Camp weren't allowing anyone behind the scenes anymore, and Andy had to put in an email and say, I've got people booked on flights, and they were like, okay, that's them, and that's it. So we were the last people to.
Why was that? You know?
Because it's so competitive.
So if
their competitors knew that they were working on a begonia with a it's not a true example, but a slightly bigger flower or a slightly redder flower or whatever. Even that knowledge is top secret confidential.
Corporate espionage.
Exactly. Brilliant. So we were the very last people behind the season at Bacon Camp, and they also went to Flora Media Photography Studios and learned how to frame a photo, how to build a backdrop. So some of the things, like I mentioned, that I've never been taught and really wish I hadn't had to figure out for myself.
Right. So what's the eventual outcome?
So the product, which is a begonia, and that's as much as is known of the product, it is a begonia, will be launched at Gardeners World Live 2025. Okay. So they've now, they've had the Netherlands trip, they've had half a day with Michael Perry, half a day with Jane Lawler, half a day with Eve Kerrigan, and half a day with Jenny Kwan, who's Glee's head of design.
Right.
So some outside input, some very fresh opinions. You know, Michael and Eve are both very ideasy. And then Jenny and Jane are both very practical, but logical. And then they have now, they've had some online sessions in how to calculate costings. They've got online sessions coming up in how to deliver a product pitch or different means of delivering a product pitch. And then in October, they have half a day per team with Boyd. Boyd Douglas Davis, where he's going to finesse their pictures, and the next day they've got to deliver them to sponsors. Gardeners World Live will be there, Bacon Camp will be there, Flora Media, British Garden Centres, who are a partner retailer on the project. And each team will pitch their version of the product. And I think realistically a combination of the two will be taken forward, but it could potentially be a landslide victory. So they'll pick a label, a name, a photograph, then there'll be some wild card criteria in there as well. So that's 5 weeks off as we film this.
So can I ask, how is this funded?
So we have raised the funds from across a number of businesses. Peter Moore, who's wonderful, Choicey Breeder, and Budley, and some other categories as well, has been the headline sponsor.
Right.
And then there's been a number of other smaller sort of delegate sponsors as well. And the programme will reinvest funds in itself.
Right.
So the sales of the product will hopefully contribute to a future rotation.
Another one.
Right. So we had this big fundraising need without anybody having ever seen what we were trying to do. So it was an untested format.
How do you fundraise for something that you don't really know is going to happen?
Yeah, I think it was one of the proudest moments of my career, though, especially when that headline sponsorship came in, when we got that email from Peter saying that I'll back you, I like your ideas and I'll back you.
Wonderful.
It was like, but real passion project for me.
It sounds it.
And I think it could be a real catalyst for the industry approaching things a little bit differently, especially the plant side of the industry, because I think Glee shows the rest of the industry can be more open-minded.
Yeah,
but the plant side of things, we've all come across red with white eye.
Well, while we talk about Glee, how long have you been coming to Glee, and which of your hats do you wear most? Your nursery hat or your YPHA hat?
I think I always wear both hats. I think I've been coming to Glee 8 years, which means that at least four of them were exclusively Happy Plants, because YPHA didn't exist until more recently. We've done stands here as a business, and we've also done a stand here as YPHA previously as well.
Okay.
So I'm always wearing both. I think I'm far more likely to turn a Happy Plants conversation into a YPHA one.
Right.
I think we're all a little bit careful about ever using YPHA for marketing. I don't think it would be the right integrity, really.
Yeah.
But I'm normally, always, if I'm talking to somebody and I think, I think they are category. Somebody that was trying to sell as a floor sweeper at Four Oaks last week got recruited.
Right.
One girl over in the Netherlands at week 24 flower trials said to me this year, "You've already done this to me last year." And I said to her, "Why don't you look to join?" She was like, we literally had this conversation this time last year. Yeah. So,
and you've still not joined.
Exactly.
So
it's free. You get a T-shirt. Yeah. We're nice people. I think everybody should join.
So what are the benefits to YPHA
it's
members?
It's free. You get a free T-shirt.
Coming to Glee.
Coming to Glee. I'm sorry.
What's the benefits?
What are the benefits for YPHA members?
And you said you used to have a stand. Why haven't you got one?
We do still have.
You have got one.
We've had what we've called a market research point year, which is in the Green Heart with the plant.
Okay.
So a couple of the launch successes have been here the last couple of days, conducting market research with plant buyers. So in that area.
Okay. Yep.
So figuring out if the price point they've pitched and what's the right fit. Okay. We're very resource limited. We're volunteers. Whilst LSC is a self-funded project, and we reached out to some of those sponsors that I've mentioned previously, mm-hmm. YPHA itself has a funding model, but we're adamant that funding should be spent on the whole membership. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of that goes on getting people to trade shows,
right.
And covering hotel costs.
Yes.
I mean, we bunk in. We can end up with three or four of us in a room, but there's normally a hotel room. It really is.
You're in with your son.
I am in with my son out here. Yeah.
We have to be really quite careful with how we spend that money, as I say, especially because the bulk of it needs to be reserved for using on the membership.
Yeah.
We have to weigh it up quite carefully, which ones we opt in and out of. And I think that's true of opportunities in general.
Yeah.
I think in its infancy, Molly and I in particular have been guilty of saying yes to everything burning ourselves out, and in reality we're better to pick a few things and do it well. And I think we're the same with trade shows now. National Plant Show in particular is a really good show for us, and here we can have quite a good presence walking around. Most of the younger people here are manning stands, so we can walk around and recruit them that way.
We'll get
them, don't worry.
How easily do you think the YPHA has been accepted into the industry, and especially by the older generation? Yeah. And have you found that there are still some tough nuts to crack?
There's a couple, but the overwhelming majority, it's been with open arms and with a big boost, a big
That's
leg
really
up.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great. When I say that the funds are limited, we very rarely have to pay speakers. We very rarely have to cover cost of event rooms. It's normally something that people make available to us, knowing that it's going to do good to the whole industry.
Brilliant.
I think we have a few. I always say the rising tide lifts all boats. So if the industry invests a little bit in their own business, even if that person leaves their own business, that person's going to lift the industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's only really narrow-mindedness about stuff like that. I think there's some preconceptions because we do have fun. And we but we also learn a heck of a lot as well, and we achieve quite a lot. I don't want to say academically, but we do. You know, there's so much learning in what we're doing. I think it's difficult to break the previous iterations of the group. And similar groups back to YGCAJs.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some people that have carried their opinions of those historic versions.
It's very
of the
easy
group
to get
across.
Stuck
right.
and
yeah.
to think you know better.
Hmm.
And, you know, you've done it, used to do it that way, don't need to change.
The headline is that the industry absolutely supports YPHA. You know, there's
that's
so
right.
many people that have contributed so much.
But we have to, otherwise there'll be no industry left, you know, in 10, 20 years' time. There'll be nobody running the nurseries.
I don't think there's a person that hasn't said at some point that they struggle finding a younger workforce.
Yeah.
I don't think they can say that and also not back what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So as yourself, one of the co-founders, and your other co-founders get older, and you're passing the age limit and passing on your roles, will that age limit start to creep up?
Absolutely not. Liam is the oldest of the three of us who formed YPHA. He's a year older than me, so he's got this year and another three. I've got this year and another four. Molly's only a baby. I think she's got this year and another seven or eight.
Right.
Although she's just had a baby, so whether this will remain a priority.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Will be set to be seen, but they're already coming through. On my launch success project, we've got two girls who've just hit 20. And already showing the initiative to apply to a program like that. You can see future leaders forming. But I think it's imperative that we pass it on.
Okay.
Once we're older, we won't be. And even now, sometimes some of the stuff the launch successes say, I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to use TikTok. I'm already becoming out of touch with some of what's required to do what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
But also, I think, it would get stale if it became the few of us.
Yes.
But we're actually, I think, today announcing some support roles for the committee, which would almost be like not junior committee at all, because it might be people older, younger, whatever. But we can see that becomes backup.
Right. For when you finally.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there. It's in the calendar.
Oh, yeah. Just not yet. Not yet. Stop now.
So you obviously have loads of passion and knowledge in what you do. But are we looking at a next potential HTA or GMA president? Do you think, what does the future hold for you?
If you'd have told me where I am now 4 years ago, I wouldn't have believed it. You know, YPHA, when it first formed, I think we had 30 members on the way into lockdown, and it was just right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. It was the right solution at the time the industry needed a beacon of this is what I'm going through. This is the person that might be able to help you out of their situation. And I don't think you can say what the world's going to look like in 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. I won't pretend that I haven't been made aware that there will be expectations on membership to I turned down quite a lot of panels and committees and whatnot.
Right.
And there's a couple of them that have held me to a date that when we get past that point and I step back from my PhD, my name will be on the list for some other opportunities. But I think as long as we stay true to the mission of what we're trying to achieve, and have integrity in what we do, then we'll end up in the right place, wherever that might be.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So you've talked a lot about what the younger generation have to offer and the kind of other skills that you bring. From that perspective, as an industry professional, is there one thing you would change about Glee and make it more accessible?
I really don't know if there is. It's very much in my day job. This isn't my show. This show isn't for me.
Okay.
Because I'm very much, Forex last week is my supplier.
Yes, of course.
To look around. And I think, like I said earlier, it's really refreshing to see that the rest of the industry is a little bit more up to date with some of what they're doing than I can take marketing concepts from here and show them to retailers and say, you're doing this with pots, why can't you do it with what I'm doing? I think plants being back in the hall is a great move. Looking forward to seeing how that develops. It's not my show. It's not for me, but I've really enjoyed today having a wander around and seeing just the breadth of the industry is represented here better than anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen the talent store?
Yes, it looks amazing.
That's how you how you merchandise plants.
For sure. And I'm glad to have seen some of my buyers walking around here so that I'll be able to feed back to them. Did you see that? And do we think we can do XYZ with them?
Oh, fantastic.
For context and breadth, there's value in me visiting as a grower.
Yeah.
And hopefully in a couple of years there'll be value in me visiting as a plant displayer, I guess, as a plant display.
Merchandiser.
Merchandiser, is that right?
Yeah, I think you would merchandise plants. Yeah, I'm sure you would.
I don't think that's something people do at the moment as much, is it?
Well, especially with the Forex always being so close.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot to do, isn't it? Both.
Yeah.
In one go, goodness.
A bit of visual theatre.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Fantastic. Well, I think we've pretty much wrapped up everything we needed to talk to you about. So thank you so much, Nat, for coming in and speaking to us.
Thank you so much.
And now for our conversation with Jess DeBell, the brand manager at Meadowview Stone. Welcome, Jess.
And just before we start, Jess, I just want to say you are looking fabulous. Absolutely amazing, all dressed and ready to go for Floral Thursday. So a fantastic effort. So, Jess, can you tell us a little bit about who Meadowview Stone are?
So Meadowview Stone are actually owned by a parent company called Longrake Spa, which have been established for over 150 years.
Right.
And they acquired Meadowview Stone back in 2019.
Okay.
We were already supplying aggregates into like the merchant sector and things like that. So I thought, oh, retail.
Right.
Might as well go for that as well. It was a very steep learning curve.
Right.
But I think we've got there now. Obviously, retailers require a lot more than a builder's merchant ward in terms of the merchandising, the bag quality, etc. So it's just been fine-tuning that, which Sarah, the MD, took in and really grabbed by the horns and has been involved in it ever since, really.
How long has that been going on?
Since 2019.
Yeah. So just before lockdown.
Yes.
So can you just give us a little bit of background to you and how you became involved with Meadowview?
Yeah, so I've always wanted to be in marketing, mainly graphic design. When I was a little girl, I'd always draw my own invites to my birthday parties and things like that. Always loved making things look pretty. So I went to university and did a graphic design degree.
Great.
And then when I was looking for job roles, I had interviews straight off the bat with various companies. One was a CCTV company, and one was actually for Longrake, the group company, being the graphic designer for them.
Oh, right.
And I thought, oh, it was a bit further away from home. And I went for the interview, and Sarah interviewed me. And it was the first place I went where I wasn't just surrounded by men. It was all women interviewing me. They were really friendly, really nice. And that's why I took the role, really.
That's really surprising because, you know, I mean, aggregates isn't necessarily what you would traditionally think of as a female environment, really.
No, definitely not. But I do think the end user is probably normally going to be a woman who picks the colour of stone that's going in the garden.
Very true.
So it's quite handy to have women at the helm.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant.
So that's kind of not ruined my next question, but it certainly helped answer it. So, you know, these companies tend to be fairly male orientated. And, you know, Glee, although there's a lot of women here, Glee's the only show I've ever been to where you don't have to queue at the ladies because it is much more male orientated and sales teams tend to be male orientated. So are you have you found it hard to fit in, or is it just not an issue for you anymore?
I don't see it as much of an issue anymore, right. But I do notice a lot of like the garden centre managers and people like that, it is predominantly male.
Yeah.
Right.
I can see that is slowly like improving as things are getting better, but more women are coming in. So you look at like Jima, you've got Kate, and you've got Vicky, and then Linda for Greenfingers. There's some really empowering women that work in our industry.
Fran Barnes at the HTA.
Yes. Yeah. It's getting much, much better. And I can just see that improving more and more.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So we hear about the role of a brand manager quite a lot. What does that actually entail?
My role is quite varied. I'm an avid believer that I can't market well if I don't understand what the customer needs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I try to get out and see as many customers as possible, not just the big accounts, the smaller accounts, the middle size.
Right.
Not just to speak to the managers, but also to speak to the people that are working in the landscape area.
Okay, interesting.
That's where we've had some of our biggest innovations from. People have complained about, we keep getting split bags. Can you do something?
Right.
So then you develop a sample tray that stops people splitting the bags. But it's the information that's fed back that helps us market and improve constantly.
Right, yeah. So it's that first hand going out, seeing people, chatting to them. So, I mean, what else do you get up to in your role?
So I do the social media, the website, merchandise planning, all product development, bag designs.
So not a lot, really.
A bit of key account management.
Oh, my goodness.
I have an extremely varied role, but it's nice for it to be that varied because when I'm working the stand, there's not many questions I can't really answer because I know most of the cost prices because I have all the RRPs that I have to do on the point of sale.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Excellent. So how many people are in the company?
So Longrake as a company as a whole is about 100, but it's hard to say exactly how many work for Medivue because we have multiple sites that we pull stock from.
They're like group sites.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But dedicated Medivue staff, it varies because we've got the sales agents as well who are out on the road. So it's about 12 of them.
Right. Oh, so quite a few then.
Yeah.
Quite a few sales. So as well as your busy day job for Medivue Stone, you are also involved in the YPHA, the Young People's Horticultural Association, and more recently as a Green Fingers ambassador.
Yay.
And we've just been talking to Linda. So how important are those organisations to you?
The YPHA... When I initially heard about it, I thought, oh, well, am I really in horticulture? Because it's aggregates.
Yes,
it's not.
You are.
And it's like, well, yeah, you are, because you supply them. The main reason for joining that was I get on really well with Abby from Wood Lodge.
Right.
And she was talking to me about...
Friend was going.
Well, it helps.
It was quite daunting the first time I ever went to an industry event because I went with Sarah and she knew everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
And I didn't know anybody.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So by joining the YPHA, I'm meeting all these people.
Yep.
They're all really friendly. And then you're just walking around the halls at Glee, you're at the National Plant Show, you're at the HTA conference, and you're bumping into people that you know.
Yes.
All the time.
All the time. And it just helps build a network. And it's weird because Sarah seems to know their parents and I know them.
That's great though, intergenerational, and it just helps confidence as well in what you're doing.
Definitely. And green fingers, you just can't not love the child, can you? It's amazing. We've always helped by donating gravel and things like that
to the gardens. Right.
But I remember we went to the ball that they have around Christmas, the dinner, the fundraising dinner, and there was a video of this little boy and he was talking about how his sister had been in the hospice and his final memories that were happy were spent in that garden. Aww. And I thought, God, there must be more we can do. So I spoke to Linda and we then became silver supporters. So we pledged to donate £10,000 over a 3-year period.
Okay.
But I still didn't feel it was enough. And she was saying how obviously they go to all these different shows and they struggle to get cover. Yeah. So I said, well, I'm more than happy to come and work on the stand and spread the word and spread awareness. So that's where my role comes in a bit more. That's why I was nagging everyone for money for the raffle tickets.
No, good for you. And how long have you been doing that as ambassador?
Oh, about, must be getting on for about 6 months now.
Oh, right.
So but I was initially brought in to do the floral ball next year. I'm on the committee for that, planning it.
Okay.
So that's next
June.
Really well.
Oh,
I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to reveal.
No. I think we better get our tickets.
Definitely get your tickets. We've got a lot of exciting things planned.
Ooh. Because it's the 25th anniversary, isn't it?
25th anniversary, yes.
Yeah, amazing. Fantastic. So how are you finding Glee this year? Has anything caught your eye around?
Yeah, well, Glee this time of year for us is so much better.
Okay.
Good.
So it's really good for us for doing pre-seasons. It's been a really busy show.
Oh, good.
Especially like yesterday and the day before was just crazy. I think we needed traffic lights at some stages.
And your stand looks amazing as well. It's very eye-catching.
Thank you. That's another labour for the last few months. It's been a really good show. And to be honest with you, I've not even managed to get off of them to walk here and go to the main stage. So I will try and have a mooch round. I've heard a few people mention odd products. Like, oh, you should nip there and look at this. So I'll try and get out and actually see what the people are doing as well.
Now, I know you did get to the main stage.
Did, yes.
Because you won something, didn't you?
Yes, we did. So on the point of sale, we've launched some AR, augmented reality.
Oh.
So we were renovating our house and I was looking at different flooring on it. And I thought, surely there must be something we can do in the garden for this. So I started researching different companies. We teamed up with a company that have developed all the software for us, and you just scan the QR code on the point of sale and then you can take it home with you, or you can do it in the garden centre if you prefer, and it drops a 2x2 metre sample of the product down. You can position it wherever you want. It cuts out edging or boulders or anything you've got in your garden, so you can see how the aggregate's going to look before you lay it.
That is amazing.
I love that.
Really amazing.
I just think it's such a nice way to visualise it, and it might help our customers with upselling as well, because people might look at some of the products that are a bit more expensive and think, oh, well, how's that going to look? Is it worth the extra money?
Right, so they can do that.
And is that actually live now?
Yes, that's live now on the products that are on the stand, but we're working with them on developing the software for everything in the range.
Right.
Which is quite a mammoth task.
I can imagine.
As you can imagine, every piece of gravel is different.
getting the
contrast right, the colours right, the depth is quite a task.
Oh my goodness.
But we will be launching that for the new season, so that'll be ready probably November, December time.
So, and what award did that win?
That won Best Retail Services Award.
Ah, brilliant, brilliant. So why do you feel it's that important to be at Glee as a business?
I think it's so important to be at Glee. The amount of people I've seen and the lengths of the country I would have had to travel to see the people I have seen is ridiculous. And it's not just seeing new people, new customers, it's solidifying the accounts that you currently have, showing them what's new and just giving them a bit more loyalty to your brand, really.
One of the great things about being at Glee is the newness of things. You know, people like coming to see the new things. Are you actually launching anything at Glee other than the QR codes?
So we've launched a new mixed product called Eco Sparkle. So that's...
and does it sparkle?
It does sparkle. Wow. It's a mixture of white with silver grey.
Okay.
But the silver grey is 100% recyclable. It's a recycled product from the China clay industry.
Right.
Okay.
So it looks really nice. It's a speckled effect.
Ooh.
So that was nice. That was shortlisted as well. We've also launched some court and steel edging, so that's just got spikes
court
in.
Court and steel?
Yeah, oh, and we've also got it in black and grey in like a powder coated as well, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
But it's all got its own fixings, so you just hammer it into the ground. You can bend it, because I don't know of many borders that are straight.
Yeah. No.
Not that last being straight for very long.
No.
And finally, we've got the porcelain stepping stones as well in hexagonals, round and random. Mm-hmm. And we've also collaborated with Chris Jessen, who I've met through Greenfingers.
Yes, the Groovy Gardener.
The Groovy Gardener,
yeah.
Who actually we're both from Sheffield, so it was quite weird when we met.
Lovely.
Right. He's endorsed our Eden collection, which is a pouch bag range of our horticultural sands and grits and pea gravel. I've been selling gravel for 7 years, marketing it. I didn't know why you would use a horticultural grit.
Okay. You do now.
I do now. Worryingly, I asked quite a lot of garden centres and they couldn't answer me either.
Oh, really? Okay.
So Chris has just given us how-to guides on the back of the bags.
Brilliant.
And also a range of videos just showing you the ratios for mixing and where it can be utilised, just so people can have more confidence when they're growing in the garden.
Oh, brilliant. That's fantastic. So as a creative, what is it about the industry that keeps you going, keeps you in it?
I think it's just so evolving all the time.
Okay.
Like, I'm constantly seeing people thinking about ways to improve, and I just find it really exciting. I love my job, and I think that comes across.
It really does.
We're all quite passionate about what we do.
It really does.
Constantly trying to better ourselves and go that step further. And it's also like the networking events you get to go to is just GEMA awards and HGA conference and all the accessible information you can get as well, EPOS data and things like that. It just makes doing your job so much easier, and everyone is so friendly.
It's such a lovely community, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a good place to wrap up, Phil.
It really does.
So thank you so much, Jess, for coming to talk to us, and enjoy the rest of the show and the Floral Thursday fun that's going to happen a bit later. And yeah, we hope to see you next year.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Thanks very much, Jess.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the underground, sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm. I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, the founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specialising in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at wrightobarra.com.